All right, there we go. Welcome, everyone. It's the start of something new, I think. Brad Brown with you, Lindsay Parry with us as well. Lindsay, you there?
I am. I'm here. Very excited about the first Q&A, basically, since Comrades. So, should be a good 30 minutes.
Yeah, I see we've got a few people on, just so you know as well, and I'll pop this out on email. This is going to be a much more regular occurrence. We're going to be doing one a week, but we're obviously going to mix things up between Lindsay and the other two coaches we've got as well. So I think it's going to add a nice dynamic as well. So, if you're on Slack, let us know that you can hear us loud and clear in that channel. The Q&A channel for today would be much appreciated. Everything looks fine from my side. I see Nikki's on, Rosie's on as well. So welcome to you guys. If you wouldn't mind, in that lunch hour Q&A, 21 September 2016 Slack channel, just leave us a message in there and let us know that you can hear us loud and clear. And if you've got any questions, pop them in there as well. So, all right, cool. Let's start. Simone Verstad, Lindsay, sent us a question in slightly earlier today. And this is something that probably I should be asking you too, because I'm on antibiotics as well. She wants to know, when's the right time to start running again after a course of antibiotics?
So, look, it's actually quite a common question that we get. So it's actually a good question. Most antibiotics don't have a negative impact on exercise, but exercise does have a negative impact on the effectiveness of the antibiotic. So when your body temperature goes up, it does affect the effectiveness of the antibiotic. So I think when do you start training depends then on the following two factors. Okay, number one, antibiotics typically are used to treat bacterial infections or secondary bacterial infections that are linked to viral infections. So if you have a viral infection, then you absolutely must not start exercise again until the antibiotics are finished and you are asymptomatic. Okay. If, however, the antibiotic really is linked to a bacterial infection, something like you have at the moment, Brad, in the form of bronchitis, then you can start exercising as soon as you are asymptomatic, even if you are still taking the antibiotics, but you really need to moderate the exercise because there may still be some lingering infection and then you go and compromise the effectiveness of the antibiotic. It doesn't completely kill off that infection and then you get a reinfection quite soon afterwards as you start to feel like your training load is going up. As an athlete, I would always have these discussions with my doctor when the doctor is prescribing the medication. So I always declare I am active, I'm training for the following. What are my ground rules moving forward? And that largely takes this sort of guesswork and these rule of thumbs that I've shared with you now out of the equation.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's frustrating. And Lindsay, it's one of those things, I guess. I mean, I'm struggling with that now. I think Thursday's coming up for 2 weeks. I was supposed to run the Cape Town Marathon on the weekend, but you're really not going to get better by going out too soon. It's better to sort of probably err on the side of caution or being really conservative. What do you reckon?
Yeah, so, that's actually a good point that I should have added in. Once you do return to exercise, once you are completely asymptomatic, give yourself 10 to 14 days just to build up your mileage again until you get to a similar point to where you were when you got sick. If you hit it too hard too early, your immune system is already compromised because you've been sick and your body's been working hard to fight an infection. And there's a good chance that there's still a bit of that germ inside you. So even though your body has now got the upper hand, if you go into it and start training hard straight away, you give that germ an opportunity to then get the upper hand over your body again or actually picking up another infection that is doing the rounds there because you just compromise your immune system just that little bit too much. So build up slowly over 10 to 14 days.
Yeah, it also doesn't help if you've got three kids and a wife who are also sick and we keep reinfecting each other. That's also not the ideal. I think I might move out. Can I move in with you for a few weeks, Lindsay?
Yeah. do it, but our kids are sick too. I've just got a machine immune system.
All right, cool. That was a great question. I think pretty timely as well for this time of the year. Just waiting on a few more questions as well. Rosie, how was your trail run? Let us know if there's anything that we can help you with. I know you had a pretty cool trail run, I think it was this past weekend, that you were telling us about within Slack. So, yeah, get the questions in Slack now as well. Lindsay, you had a pretty good run. Was it this weekend, last weekend? Half marathon, you smashed one.
Sunday, yeah, it was a really good run. I actually lined up to run it to give my body a scrick and let it know how unpleasant it is to run races when it's not fit. And I hope that would like really ignite the motivation to move from my consistent 70, 80 Ks a week to just a little bit more, you know, to just stop missing that one. I effectively have been lazy one day a week that I was supposed to run and didn't. But no, it went amazingly well. So it didn't have the desired effect, although it did motivate me. I was like, right, if you can run like this, training like you are now, get some structure, get some discipline, and you can still run at the senior age of 39. You can still run some fast times.
I love that. I love that. Get those questions in if you want a question asked. Now, obviously, we are with the switch. I think it's going to be a bit slow on the uptake to start with. But Lindsay, let's talk while we wait for some more questions to come through. Recovery. I know a couple of people ran Cape Town Marathon this past weekend. It's September. Interesting time to be running marathons, particularly if you did run Comrades. But a lot of people are running marathons more and more or earlier and earlier this time of the year. What's the best way to sort of, like, if you did run it hard on the weekends, what's the best way to sort of slowly build up again so that you don't get injured?
Look, it's imperative that you give your body a little bit of a break. In Cape Town Marathon, I was following it on Twitter and Facebook and all the posts, and it really was an unbelievable day. Perfect day for marathon racing in Cape Town. Nice, cool temperatures, beautiful day, no wind. So there are a lot of people that probably capitalized on that, even people who weren't planning on racing a marathon. And so it really is important after that, when you have overextended yourself and there is stiffness, it really is important to give your body a little bit of time to recover. And if you do give your body that time to recover, it will set you up to really go and run some fast 10, 15, perhaps another fast 21 before the end of this year. But if you don't allow yourself that recovery opportunity, if you go straight back into training really hard straight after your marathon, you are going to at some point start drifting into a bit of overtraining, or, you know, other people would use it as a loss of form. You know, I'm just not on form right now. And then people tend to try and train harder to get themselves out of that kind of dip, and that kind of makes it worse. And it can go on and have a knock-on effect right into your comrades next year. So take a break. I always say after marathon, you have to go 3 days minimum without running. So 3 days, you do not run. If you stiff out and sore, and it's sore to walk, I actually wouldn't do anything. But if there's no pain, swimming and cycling, that's a good alternative. And then the amount of pain that you are in will then determine if you should be seeing out the rest of the week resting, or if you can start running. So if your pain peaks at 48 hours, so during the second day after the race, and then it starts to come down, and by day three, you're actually fairly pain-free. Day four, you're walking pain-free. You can start jogging easily. If, however, on day two, your pain only peaks late on day two, day three, you're still quite sore, then I would only start running after 7 days. And then when you start running again, same principle always applies. Spend the next 10 to 14 days building up from your first run about 20 minutes. And although that sounds short and ridiculous, especially after you've run a marathon, what's great about the 20-minute rule, or my 20-minute rule, is that it's long enough to see if you've picked up any kind of injury or niggle or issue, or if you are still stiff or very, very tired, because then you can rest for a couple more days. And it's not long enough that it will make any of those things worse. And then from there, if it was good, you just every day or every second day, you increase your runs until after that 10 to 2 week period, you find yourself running an hour easy. And then from there, you can go back to a fairly normal training program and set your sights on the next goal.
Okay, cool. Rosie let us know what her trail run was like. She said all but two of the entrants went off route, added nearly 8 kilometers to the course. She said she dropped out at 45 and a half due to heat fatigue and dehydration, her second only DNF ever. And she said temperatures were almost 39 degrees Celsius, no shade at all. So, yeah, geez, Rosie, that sounds like it was quite hectic. I hope you've recovered well. And yeah, Lindsay, it's difficult sometimes when you have to pull the plug on a race like that where you've looked so forward to it. And, yeah, sometimes it's better to walk away and fight another day than to really try and push yourself over the edge and do sort of serious damage.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly it. So I missed there. Did Rosie also go? Did she also go the extra 8K?
Yeah, exactly. She said only two of the athletes didn't. They stayed on route.
Yes. No. I was hoping she was one of the smart ones that stayed on the route. No, look, I mean, once you, it applies exactly the same what we've just discussed now with Rosie. You know, if you have gone and overdone it, overraced, you need to give yourself a little bit of pullback. I know that she went there. I've been following her in the week, went there to have a good time. But trail run remains trail. It usually is a bit tougher than, not always as hard on the body as tar, but because it typically requires a lot of uphill and a lot of downhill, it can be a lot harder sometimes on the muscles and definitely needs a bit of recovery time after.
Rosie, what's next on the cards for you? She says she did enjoy it mostly. However, what's next on the cards? What are you working towards? What are you struggling with? What do you need help with? Yeah, pop us a question. If there are any other questions as well, just pop them onto the Slack group. I see as well, it's funnily enough, it's the first time we've used this platform, Lindsay. There's a bit of a chat function within Mixlr as well, which is cool, but also not cool, because we are going to export the chat from Slack onto the website. So that will sit with the audio as well. So going forward, it's probably best if we do stick to asking the questions or keeping the chat within Slack. The cool thing is I did test that you can actually, particularly if you're on your phone, and that's what I love about this sort of platform. If you're on your phone, you can click on the link on the website within a browser, for instance, and you can be listening to the stream. And then you can open Slack and you can chat within Slack. So and it continues playing, which is pretty cool. So Rosie's saying she's got another ultra in December, also trail and at altitude. She says there's a half marathon on Tar this weekend. Is that a good or a bad idea? I mean, just so you know, she was saying she did 45 and a half Ks this past weekend. Should she go and run the half marathon this weekend?
Look, again, it would depend entirely on how the body is feeling. Like, to me, it's not sensible. So, I should put that out there straight away with an asterisk. It's not sensible to go from a 44K or what was meant to be, a 36K trail and then run a hard half marathon on the weekend. However, you know, if you are in pretty good shape and you do go there and you really do run it easy and you are kind of doing it as a mate and it becomes more of a training run, then you could probably race on the weekend, but you do need to be careful about what you are doing this week. And we're already on Wednesday this week and you should be spending most of the week recovering. I mean, even if you were an elite athlete, 44Ks a week for a race would probably be a bit much, but you would, like I said, quite literally radically cut your mileage over the last 4 or 5 days leading into that race so that your legs can be nice and fresh and ready to go. If you were sore and stiff, then it makes very little sense to go there and to push hard.
Rosie says she will bow to your superior wisdom. So that's pretty cool. She says she hasn't run since the ultra. Dehydration's really hammered her. So, yeah, Rosie, it's, again, probably better to err on the side of caution here than try and push yourself too hard. The last thing you want to do is do long-term damage and pick up a sort of overuse injury, and then you're out for 2-3 months, and that's not fun. So,
or get flat and suffer from overtraining. So, you know, especially if you've had complications. So, no, based on the fact that you had some complications, no.
Cool. There we go. No, awesome. Keep the questions coming through. If there are any questions coming through on Slack, I'm keeping an eye on that as well. So if you've got any questions, pop them into the Lunch Hour QA 21 September channel. You can pop them in there. Lindsay, just a quick one as well. We've mentioned it in the newsletter email list as well. With regards to the addition of Devlin and Marcus to the team, I don't know if you want to touch on that. We haven't actually spoken about it in any of these sort of platforms, and the thinking behind it and a little bit about Marcus and Devlin. I mean, they're both great guys. They're doing some amazing work, and the response from the athletes to them have been pretty good as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thinking was actually not very complicated at all. You know, the two of us created this platform to give runners better access to me. I mean, it all started around comrades, but we want to extend it past comrades and turn it into something a little bit bigger and to share the knowledge that I have built up coaching over the past 17, 18 years that I've been coaching. And both Devlin and Marcus are two guys that I've been working with quite closely for a number of years. I mean, Devlin started with me as an intern when I was still heading up the physiology department at the High Performance Center. Devlin was one of my interns, I think 7 years ago or 8 years ago. And then, you know, he did a really cracker job there as a sports scientist. And so we kept him at the end of his year of internship. We didn't let him go. We employed him at the HPC, where he then added cycling and strength and conditioning to his bow, his quiver. And when it came to the point of us extending our offering and moving into cycling and triathlon, to me it just made perfect sense. I'd spent so much time with Devlin talking about training and a few tutorials and that sort of thing that it was a perfect fit and it was an easy choice for me to make. And then Marcus is actually an athlete of mine that I've been coaching for many, many years. And we've also just had so many long chats about coaching and what to do. And he's, you know, slowly started getting himself some coaching qualifications. And he started coaching with me at Tux University, working more with the age groupers, but some very competitive age groupers, and was getting some really great results. And I was like, look, I cannot physically get to more people and give them my physical expertise with individualized training programs. So the solution was to bring Marcus on board to assist me with comrades, but also to start growing the triathlon side of the website, and two guys that I've got confidence in that will be spreading a similar message to what I'm spreading, and that are coaching people from a similar philosophy. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really exciting addition. It has taken a bit of time to get everything and our ducks in a row, but, you know, we are going now, and there's been a really cool response to both Devlin and Marcus, and I'm really looking forward to them, you know, starting to have the same results in the public domain as I have had, because they have had some very similar results to me and some very similar successes. But now we will start getting those out in the public domain so that they can also start growing as coaches in their own right.
Absolutely. And, yeah, Rosie, you see you've got a comment on the new platform for the queue. Pop it on there with pleasure. And, yeah, Lindsay, I mean, Marcus and Devlin, and I think the word you use, and correctly so, is philosophy. Obviously, you, not that you do things radically differently, but you have a certain way of doing things and a way that you believe gives the best result. And obviously, you have a proven track record by doing that. And Marcus and Devlin both sort of, sort of fit into the same philosophy. They both think the same along the same sort of lines, and that's important. You don't want guys coming out of left fields within the platform. We obviously all want to be pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, and I mean that's really important because you know, I mean I don't need to tell you this. This is what you do. But you know, part of it is creating a brand. You know, for a long time I've just been referring people to other coaches around that I felt would provide a good service and that I felt would prepare the athletes adequately. But at the end of the day, you know, I would like to keep it closer to us and to surround us with people that we have confidence in and build a nice, strong brand and obviously provide a really nice, strong service.
Cool, perfect. We got an awesome question in here from Nikki. Let me read it to you, Lindsay. It says, I'm not sure how easy it'll be to get an injury diagnosis online. Nikki, you spot on. It's pretty difficult, but you've given us lots of background here, which is good. Let me get through it without coughing my lungs out. She says, I've been having a calf problem recently that two physios haven't been able to diagnose. I had a calf tear back in July, which I'm now recovered from, according to the physios, as they can't find any issues with the muscle, and I'm running perfectly fine. I raced a half marathon on Sunday, but seemed to develop another issue at the same time, which doesn't seem to be muscle-related, but no one seems to know what it is. It's on the right-hand edge of my calf, just below the knee. I only feel it when I clench the calf muscle really hard, and it sort of feels like a dull tightness or pinching. I do feel it when I'm running, but not when I'm walking. I feel it when I go up on my tiptoes. It feels quite deep in the leg. Any thoughts, ideas of what it might be?
Yeah, so it's likely to be one of the following two things. And again, it is a little bit difficult to pinpoint it from behind a computer screen. But what it is, it's most likely to be the actual attachment of your calf muscle. So it will be related to the calf muscle itself and could be in the tendon that actually attaches, because that is where the calf muscle, the head of the, one of the two heads of the calf muscle does attach right laterally and into the knee. And treating it still requires us to make sure that there's no tension in the actual calf muscle. So there may still then be a need to put in, you know, some needles laterally in the calf. The other thing that it could be, in the way that you describe it, that hole that when you push right up into your tippy toes, it's not sore when you walk. If the pain is increases more on uneven surfaces and in particular running uphill, then it could be what we call the popliteus. Now that's a very small muscle that runs across the back of the knee, but it also inserts very close to where that lateral head of the biceps tendon inserts onto into the back of the knee. So you could have a popliteal tendon or a popliteus muscle injury. Look, physio will obviously help, but what really helps that muscle or to strengthen that muscle, to stop it from getting irritated again, is doing leg curls. So it's one of the few injuries where I would say to people, do leg curls. Now, it may not be a good idea to do the leg curls now if it is that muscle, but the important part of active that popliteus is the first 30 degrees. So as you activate the knee, as you curl the leg. So what that means is it comes under pressure as you land. And it's one of the muscles that is then helping to stabilize the knee as you land, which could also be part of the reason why it will be at its most sore in your landing phase. And it can also be very sore as you push off. So that last little bit before your feet leave the ground. And so strengthening it, you literally lie on your stomach on the leg curl machine and you quite literally just do a little with a very light weight because it's a small muscle. You just do that first 30 degrees, not even. I mean, you literally activate and let the weight come up, slowly go back down, boom, do it again. And physio will, you know, once the physio has got the right spot, then some physio will help it. But if you point them in the direction of a popliteus, get them to check it out. If it's not them, that, get them to check out the lateral head of your biceps tendon, of your gastroc, and that should sort it out.
Cool, Mickey. I hope that helps. Lindsay, questioning from Rosie. Sorry, let's carry on with Nikki quick. She said, I should have mentioned that I feel a slight lump in the place, but it doesn't hurt to push or manipulate it. Does that make any difference?
Look, that's always difficult to say because we do get little growths or little pockets of scar tissue or little bursas that are sometimes sore and sometimes not. But what could be happening if there is a bump in that area is that either that popliteal muscle tendon or the tendon of your biceps head is actually rubbing over that lump. And so the lump itself may not be sore, but if there is an inflamed bursa there, it could be irritating one of those tendons or muscles as they snap over that lump. So it could be related, but you know that gets even harder to answer over here. Sorry.
No worries. Question from Rosie. She said her next 50K trail is in the Highlands of Zim on the 10th of December, and their club's annual 20-miler or 32K, which is a 43-year-old race, is on the 4th of December. Would it be madness to enter both?
Yeah, look, you broke up just a touch. When is the first race? But with the giggle that I heard in your voice, I'm assuming they're like a week apart or 2 weeks apart.
Yeah, it's exactly a week apart. So the 20 miler's on the 4th and then the 50K trail's on the 10th.
No, look, the thing is you could argue with me and say, but I'm only going to do the 20 miler as a training run. I'm going to run it super easy and you will get away with it. If you run that race very easy, well within yourself, you'll get away with it, and your trail run will probably be okay. But you would find very few people serious about the 50K trail run, running 20 miles the week before. And if you have the 20 miler as your main race, then you're going to struggle to enjoy the 50K trail run, even if you take the whole week off and go and do the trail run to enjoy it. I think you might enjoy the first 20Ks, and then after then it won't be that much fun.
Correct. there we go. Cool stuff. Lindsay, geez, it's amazing how fast half an hour goes. But yeah, I think if there are any other questions, Rosie says she's going to bow to your superior wisdom once again. So there you go, Lindsay. You've won 2 out of 2, which is fantastic. She's going to skip the 20-miler. Yeah, Rosie, I think that's probably wise. So, yeah, Lindsay, we're going to be doing these, or just everyone who's on, we're going to be doing these things obviously a lot more often. Weekly is the plan, and we'll alternate between Lindsay, Marcus, and Devlin. And as we grow as well, there might be more and more people that we'll add on, which we'll see as well. Hopefully that is the case. And then once a week as well, just so you know, we'll be doing a chat on Slack, so a text chat. So it's within a fixed time, but we'll send those details out. And the comrades sessions will be starting up again soon as well. And there's a whole lot more coming. So exciting times here at Coach Perry. I'm excited. I know you are too, Lindsay. And yeah, I think
absolutely.
That's if there's no other questions. We'll call this one a day. The recording will be up on the website as well, so you can listen to it there, and we'll pop the link in Slack as well. But if there are any other questions, please, this is your last chance. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Rosie's saying she is enjoying Slack, which is awesome. Yeah, it takes some getting used to. It's a bit of a learning curve, Rosie, I think. But as long as we keep everything in the channels they're supposed to be in, and it's not one big sort of mismatch and everyone shouting over each other, I think it'll work quite nicely. And the cool thing is, like I said, if we put the questions for these Q&As and all the other sort of things we do within Slack, it just makes it easy because we can then embed that chat in the website. So it's all in one place. So the audio, particularly if you're listening after the fact, you can follow the chat on Slack and you can listen to the audio at the same time. So more than using the chat within Mixlr, I think if we can keep it on Slack, it'll just make it so much easier for everyone because then it's all in the same place. So yeah, that's enough of me yakking. Lindsay, anything you want to add lastly, or is that pretty much it from you as well?
No, and I think you've summed up everything brilliantly, so I don't want to repeat. But, yeah, just from a personal point of view, I'm back and I'm fresh and I'm looking forward to interacting with all the runners again. I did need a little bit of a break to rejuvenate between comrades and the Olympics, but I'm super excited for the rest of the year. So let's get chatting.